Our first reading on this first Sunday of Advent comes appropriately from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. You can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible on page 652. Hear these words. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountain quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and had delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 155 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the words of Paul the Apostle. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our final reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. This is Jesus speaking. This is on page 47, if you'd like. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, at first hearing, these readings from Scripture might come as a surprise to many Christians. In fact, Don Boyles asked me, why are you reading these for the first Sunday of Advent? All of these readings have to do with eschatology, which is a fancy theological word which simply means the end times. This has to do with the parousia, again a $5 theological word which simply means Christ's second coming. But this is the first Sunday of Advent. What gives? Well, it turns out that we in the church are preparing for Advent. And Advent simply means arrival. And as it turns out, obviously, we're waiting for the arrival of the Christ child, the incarnation, when God came to earth as a human man. But we're also waiting for the arrival, the advent of Jesus Christ at the end of time. Now, if you don't believe me, look it up in your dictionary. At least the one I was reading had the definition of Advent, and it included both references, both to the incarnation, to the birth of Christ, and to the second coming. And so the Bible would have us remember in this time of preparation for Christmas that we need also think about when Christ comes the second time. So amidst the lighting of the Advent wreath and the singing about the soon-to-be newborn king, we need to keep in mind that second coming, that second arrival, the ultimate Advent. I can't wait for Christmas. Any of you who have kids or have been around kids for any amount of time have heard this 100 times from Halloween to December 24th. I can't wait for Christmas. Well, it turns out we have to wait. Check my notes here. Excuse me. Hold the blank. When I was a kid, and maybe you remember this too, we had Advent calendars. Do you remember Advent calendars? They had the different numbers of the day, of the numbers of December, and if on each day you would open the window and reveal a different picture underneath. Well, that was a way that my sisters and I could wait, and it was not at all patiently. We were impatient for the coming of Christmas. Because I don't think any of us like to wait, but waiting is an unfortunate part of everyday life. Think about your average day. You might wait in line for traffic. You might wait at the grocery store. You might wait if you have a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment. You might wait for a repairman to come to your house. Well, it's written, I was looking it up on the internet, the average person on any given day, you might wait between 45 and 62 minutes every day. Now, if you take the low end of that guess, say 45 minutes a day, if you average that out over a 50-year period, it turns out that you will have been waiting for over a year and a half. And that's mind-boggling. Waiting is not something that's easy to do. But it is important that we make a distinction between waiting and watching. Many people talk about waiting for Christmas and waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the Bible calls us to something very different. Jesus calls us to watchfulness. An important distinction between waiting and watching. Waiting is something you do for the unknown. When will the doctor see me? When will this traffic finally clear? When will that plumber show up? When will Santa Claus come down our chimney? But watching, on the other hand, is active. Watching is something we do that requires more energy and focus and faith. In the scripture lesson that I read, Jesus tells the parable about the man who goes on a journey, and as he leaves, he tells his servants to pay attention, to do their work, and he tells the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Now, these slaves didn't lie around with their feet up, simply passing the time until the master would come back. They had jobs to do, jobs, their own work to do, jobs that were anticipation of the master's return. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, Jesus calls us to be actively watching for the advent of Christ at Christmas, and we are to be actively watching for the return of Christ the second time. I am watching for Jesus. What does that mean to say that? I am watching for Jesus. What does it mean, especially in this, the 21st century? Well, I believe that this statement of faith has two very distinct meanings. First of all, I am watching for Jesus. I'm hoping that Jesus will come just as He said He would. Now, obviously, all of us know that some 2,000 years ago, born to Mary and Joseph in that backwoods town of Bethlehem, was a little baby boy, Jesus of Nazareth. That's an historical fact. But it is also a foundation stone of my faith. But we also look forward to a time when Jesus will come again. Jesus Himself tells us, I will come again. Today, when we celebrate Holy Communion, we'll read part of the liturgy and I will ask you about expressing the mystery of your faith. And we will all recite together, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Jesus told His disciples. Now, Paul and the good people of the first century thought that Jesus would come within their lifetimes. But they were wrong. And yet, the entire Bible speaks about Jesus coming a second time. Again, we can be sure that this will happen. This is another foundation stone of our faith. But there is also another distinct but equally important meaning to that expression. I am waiting for Jesus. As in, I am waiting in place of Jesus. I am doing what Jesus would be doing if He were here with us right now. I am preparing myself and other people and the earth for the second coming, the final fruition of God's kingdom. Jesus is talking about kingdom living. Living as if the kingdom of God were already here. Because when Jesus came the first time, He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With Christ's birth, the kingdom became real on earth, and we look to the second coming for the final completion of God's design. But that's what we're about. We're about kingdom living. That means that we are to look after all of God's creation. We are to be good stewards of God's gifts to our lives. We're to look after God's children, the least, the last, the lost, the poor and disenfranchised. We are about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And we should be about being the people that God calls us to be, people in mission and ministry to all those around us. I can't wait for Christmas. You know, that's absolutely true. I cannot wait for Jesus, but I can certainly watch for Jesus. My brothers and sisters, God is always faithful, and so should we be. Let us watch for Jesus together. Amen.